Not all.
Well, some wonderful news from the Lion's Eye Research in Western Australia, celebrating, in fact, 2 milestones. Let's chat about it with Professor Bill Morgan. Bill, if I may be so bold as to call you that, thank you so much for joining us, and to all, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Peter. Yeah, we're incredibly proud. We've reached 40 years, so we're having our 40th birthday later this year, and also we've seen our 1 millionth patient. So they both coincided in the same year, which is, I think, kind of fortuitous and lucky for us. But no, we're just so excited about how much the Institute has grown. And I, of course, I'm biased, but what I think is a great service that we provide to most people.
Let's talk about some of the service that you provide, or more importantly, how and why did it start back in 1983?
Well, its origins go back earlier than that. In the 1960s, the Lions clubs realised that blindness and loss of vision was a big problem, and particularly glaucoma, which is still one of the commonest causes of blindness. And so they worked with a group of ophthalmologists here to set up the glaucoma screening service using caravans that travelled around the state. And that was in about 1963. And then what they did was they realised that they needed a more sort of structured service and also structured research program. So in the 1970s, they raised the money to fund a professorial position through University of Western Australia, and they recruited Professor Ian Constable in the mid-1970s. So he came across from Harvard and took up the chair in Professor of Ophthalmology at the University of Western Australia. And then he established the Lions Eye Institute in 1983 and got support from the Lions clubs to establish an institute which would help service the eye care needs of WA and also build a group of research laboratories here. And so it's basically gone from strength to strength. And it was the vision of those early ophthalmologists, Ian Constable and the Lions clubs. And that vision, fortunately, has continued through to this day with great support from ophthalmologists, both inside the Institute and outside the Institute, and a great group of scientists. And we've got fantastic staff. We have over 270 staff now working at the Institute.
You talked about the caravans in the early days. I guess Western Australia is a very big state, so that would have been necessary. Would be a lot of travel for people to get to Perth?
Yeah, exactly, Peter. So, and in fact, when I trained back in the 1980s, we used to fly in little planes out to places like Kalgoorlie and the remote communities and set up for a weekend and do screening for glaucoma. And, I mean, we used to drive out on weekends to places like Narrogin and use whatever local town halls or part of the local hospital, as well as using the caravans.
Was glaucoma the silent thief of sight? So early diagnosis are critical.
It certainly is with glaucoma, because you can't undo the disease in the sense that once it's done some damage to your eye and vision, you can't undo that. You can only stop it from getting worse. So the earlier you detect it, the more vision you can save. And the same really goes for diabetes and diabetic retinopathy. That's become a big problem in the last 20 years. And also, to some extent, macular degeneration. So 40 years ago, it was untreatable. We had no treatment for macular degeneration. But about 15 years ago, really effective treatments came in, and so now that's treatable as well. So we rely on various people, groups in the community who do the bulk of that screening now for both glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy and other diseases, to pick up those things and then send them into the Institute for more management.
Tell us about some of the research that you do, and in fact, some of the sort of revolutionary research that you do, and what it means as far as saving sight and indeed helping people live a very independent, full life.
Yeah, look, great question. We've invented several wonderful devices and systems. So we developed the first stent for glaucoma surgery here at the Institute, and that's now commercialized and known as the Zen stent, and it's been put into over 100,000 patients with glaucoma worldwide. We also developed some gene therapy for macular degeneration, and that's still going on, being trialled in the United States. We developed the first artificial cornea using a mix of plastics that was used clinically, and then it's been superseded by different type of corneal implant, but it really set the stage for that type of treatment for patients with severe corneal injuries. We've also developed low-cost glaucoma drainage surgical systems, which are now being manufactured in Indonesia, and in fact is the only glaucoma drainage system approved by the Indonesian Health Department. So we work overseas as well. We recognise that near neighbours like Indonesia are very important to Australia, and we can add significant value to their healthcare system by helping to train young Indonesian doctors as well as our own doctors. In fact, we've just started a program this year where we have some of our trainees go up to Indonesia to get experience in their health system, as well as some of the Indonesian young trainees coming down to Perth. So I guess we've sort of spread our influence around. Also now, we're just in the process of trialling a gene therapy for a form of retinitis pigmentosa, which Professor Fred Sheen has been involved in developing over the last few years. So that's incredibly exciting. It would be one of the first gene therapies used and tested. We've also got a building a system to measure the pressure in the brain using properties of the eye, which is also very exciting, because at the moment you can go to your GP and get your blood pressure checked.
Yep.
You can get your eye pressure checked at your optometrist, but you can't get your brain fluid pressure checked anywhere except by having a long, nasty needle poked into your back. So, there's a range of work that we've done that's, I think, has helped patients enormously. There's a lot of work that we're doing, which I think and hope will have a great impact in the future. So there are some more gene therapy ideas and developments that we're working on. So we've got great young researcher working on treatments for what's called aniridia, which is a nasty genetic disease affecting the cornea. We've got people working on the genes involved in short-sightedness and glaucoma. Glaucoma in particular is very genetically based. And then we've got people doing a lot of work on diabetic retinopathy, which is particularly nasty amongst our Indigenous population.
Yeah.
So that's the commonest cause of blindness amongst our Aboriginal population. So we've had great support from people like the McCusker family and the Perrin Foundation, the Telethon Foundation. So we've been very fortunate to have great support from very wonderful donors. And most recently, the Wen Foundation helped us build a great clinical facility up in Broome, so that now in fact the Kimberley region get as good a eye care provision as the best parts of Perth. And that's largely through us having Lions Outback Vision, but getting great support from people like the Wens. So we've been very fortunate, but we're also very proud of what we've been able to achieve.
Saving vision and showing foresight. Bill, the apparatus about measuring the pressure in the brain, what could that kind of diagnose, or what could that prevent? What sort of area is that helping out in, or could potentially be helping out in?
Probably the biggest application would be people with head injuries. So if you have a head injury, what makes that much worse is when the brain fluid pressure goes up. And the injury itself causes the brain fluid pressure to go up. So, and often it's necessary to actually drill a hole into your head and relieve that pressure. So this would be a way of detecting the nastier parts or forms of a head injury early and getting the right treatment early and basically preventing, ideally, some of the nasty side effects of a bad head injury, like long-term brain injury effects. And then there's a condition called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, which basically it occurs in younger women, unfortunately, and there's no way of detecting that apart from sticking a long needle in your back. This would be a way of detecting that and monitoring that condition. And interestingly, astronauts up in space get problems with their brain fluid pressure regulation. And so we are actually in conversation with NASA regarding a particular project. There are other applications as well, but I start to talk too much jargon, I think. But basically, it's a fundamental, if you like, property of the brain. It requires a certain, if you imagine the brain has got to be insulated from the rest of the environment, it's got to be held in a bath that's at a sort of low pressure, but a certain pressure to hold everything together. And that if that goes wonky or goes up, then you've got a problem in terms of feeding enough blood to the brain and the pressure itself gradually crushing the entire brain itself. So it's a big issue with other neurological diseases, as well as some eye diseases that affect the optic nerve.
And is that when we sometimes hear people being put in an induced coma because of a head injury? Is that kind of the reason why that would happen?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. And often those patients will have a what they call an EVD. They'll have a drain put into their brain to relieve that pressure.
Bill, we're nearly out of time. I was going to say it must be a pretty competitive area as far as getting funding goes, but with the wonderful results that you get, that kind of must make fundraising a little bit easier, or I'd like to get onto the coattails of this organisation that is doing such wonderful work.
Well, look, it's always a challenge raising funds, and we do get support from the government for our research, and we've had fantastic philanthropic support from very generous people here in WA. I think we've been very fortunate to have a string of great successes, and that does really help us in terms of telling people our story of what we've been able to achieve, and also our mission, which is to help provide better vision for all, and that's everyone across the state and also outside the country as well. So I think that fortunately we're able to very much show that we align our mission with what we're actually doing, and that helps us persuade people to support us.
Bill, it's been an absolute privilege speaking to you. We could chat for so much longer. We'll have to maybe get you back another time to chat about some of the things that you are working on. It's very, very exciting. Now, people can find out a little bit more about, or a lot more, in fact, about the work you do from your website.
Yes, they can. Yeah, we've got a new website. That's right.
All right, we'll put a link to that up on our Facebook page when we put information up about the program. Bill, again, congratulations to you and all those involved, not just that are there right now, but those that have been involved for the last, 40 years officially, and as you say, going back maybe 60 years or so. Enjoy the celebrations, and as I say, hopefully we can catch up with you again in the future.
Thanks very much, Peter, and thank you to all your listeners as well. Been great chatting with you.
That's Professor Bill Morgan from the Lions Eye Institute, celebrating 40 years officially, and 1 million patients. Two wonderful, wonderful achievements.